This is Afternoon Programming with L.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's me. It's L. I was about to say it's your boy. welcome back to episode 34 of Afternoon Programming. Today, I got a dope guest. She just said, I forgot you were here 6 months ago, right? That's what it was. We did an episode before. And people loved that episode, by the way. People were saying, like, wow, this is such a dope, chill episode. There's comments on YouTube and everything. And so
I appreciate you for that, because once I made some time to watch the video and like interact with it on YouTube and on social media, I was seeing some of that feedback too. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, me? But also I was like, wow, like even a couple months prior to, I don't know what we were discussing, but I have a group chat with my siblings.
Oh, okay.
And we were all on FaceTime together and I was preaching about something per usual. Mm-hmm. And one of my sisters was like, you know what, Jody, you talk a lot, but most times you have really insightful things to say, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I could see you with a podcast. And then her saying that, it's always been like a little pin point notepad, you know, in the back of my head. So whenever I'm ready to take on that reality and responsibility, is something I definitely love to. But I say all that to say is, thank you for giving me that opportunity. Yeah.
Of course. You know, I've said this like a million times on previous episodes where I bring people. I did this podcast personally because I wanted to just talk about shit that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to basically bring people into my world a little bit to for them to see kind of how crazy I am, because this is in my head. I'm always talking to myself about random things going on in the world or just myself, or I try to like examine certain things that happen to me and to try to find meaning into those things. You know, sometimes there's meaning, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's the life or whatever, you know. But I say all that to say that my guest today is one and only Jody. I was about to say Jody the Jedi.
Hey, guys. We could go either way. We could do Jody the Jedi. But at the end of the day, it's just Jody.
Jody. Real quick, before we go any further, plug anything you want to plug, like social media or whatever, where people can find you.
Yeah. So you guys, if you love seeing me talk to Elle about my life and about life in general, and just want to keep up with everything I got going on, follow me on Instagram at Just Jody. That's JustJodie with 3 underscores after Jody. Okay. You could get all the latest mixes there, all the good content, all the upcoming projects that I'm going to be working with or releasing. It's all there. So
dope. Thank you. And like I said, thank you for being here and making time. And so, cause I know I realized a long time, it's a lot to ask for people's time, cause time is important to people, you know.
You know?
I'm not throwing shade at you. I'm not throwing shade at
you. I deserve it.
No.
These are facts, though.
But I mean that, and regardless, cause I was just chilling and working on music today, so it's not like it was busy or nothing. Cause most of the time, I clear out my schedule and I kind of. What's the word? Compartmentalize. My schedule to be like, okay, I got this window for this, and then I'm gonna do this, and then I have a limit to where I'd be like, hey, we're gonna have to cancel or reschedule or whatever because I got other shit to do. But I always make time, and it's always cool. But to kind of keep the podcast going, I know we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. One thing I didn't even realize, like, because I guess sometimes when stuff happens, I don't pay attention that. Maybe we kind of plan out our future in a way. When what I'm speaking of is how you were talking about before, like on the last episode, you were talking about, I'm going to go to Dreamville Fest.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of putting it out there and like manifesting it and being like, I'm going to find a way to do it. And sure enough, you did it. I mean, you got the hat, Dreamville Festival.
Ooh,
you actually worked for Dreamville.
Yeah.
And like, first of all, I mean, if you don't mind, how did that come about? How were you able to make that happen? Because for people who don't know, before, when you said you were like, the plan is to go to Dreamville Fest or something to that effect, and you actually didn't even know if you were going to be able to go. You're like, I got to figure this shit out.
Listen, that was definitely a moment of me just kind of like, God, this is what I want. I really, really want it. It's on my heart. You already know my desires. I'm going to let you do the rest type of situation. And when we did the last filming for our last episode, literally in that moment, I had no idea how I was going to return, honestly. Like, I had completed the first year. It was an amazing experience. I knew personally, literally, as soon as I came back to Atlanta from Raleigh in 2019, like, I have to be back in 2020. Yeah. Obviously, everything occurred in the world on a macro level the way that it did, and things got pushed back. So when we were filming that last episode, me saying like, hey, you know, this is a festival that I've already worked and I want to return to it. I'm just going to put it out in the air. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want to work this. God, work your magic, you know?
Yeah.
At that point, I was doing my own due diligence. I had reached back out to my lead who, you know, I was familiar with from the first year. I hadn't really gotten any traction back or like replies. And I am constantly reminding myself that what is for you will come to you effortlessly. And if you have to like force anything, it's not your time to obtain that, you know? So just kind of working myself through rejection, honestly. Just be like, girl, you know what? It's not for you, okay? You've been there, you've done that, it's all good. Like, don't worry. And, you know, at the end of the day, regardless if you see God doing their magic, you just have to, it's kind of having that blind faith, honestly. It's having that blind faith, is trusting in what they want for you outside of your only desires, you know? And long story short, I was able to return this year through an amazing company called Good Foot Productions, who's owned by Allie Stevens. Allie, if you're watching this, mad love to you. She's the GOAT, okay? Allie and I met a few years back at A3C, actually, because she did a lot of production work with them.
Oh, okay.
And I was just, you know, we had been seeing each other recently doing like a lot of these like wine festivals and spring festival at Atlantic Station. And we were kind of just having like a reunited moment because we hadn't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
She was just like, you know, Jody, I miss you. Like, this is what I've been up to. What have you been up to? I told her about it. And she was like, wow, that's, I told her about Dreamville snippetly, like, because that was the most recent thing that I had did on that level. And she was like, are you serious? She was like, would you like to work it again this year? And I was just, I looked at her like, girl.
Been there, done that. No. Been there. I ain't got to go back there. Yeah. That's listen, the inside. You were like, yes, yes.
Listen, honey, on the inside, I was just like, like before she even finished the sentence, I was like, absolutely. I didn't even know what she wanted me to do. But she was like, would you have any interest in coming back this year? I was like, absolutely. Like, do you have any more details? She sent me over the details. She was like, I know you DJ. I know you do a lot of production work. We really need like a DJ artist liaison. And I worked with you before. You're personable. You're professional. You're familiar with our clientele. Like, I think this would be a great position for you. Like, let me know how you feel about it. And literally when I got that text message, I just dropped the phone and I was just like, you know when like in film, like everything else just blacks out.
Yeah,
you
see, and this it's just one light. Like, yeah, that one shining light on you.
Literally is how I felt. I was like, this is insane. So one thing led to the next. I told her, yes, she sent the contract. Boom, boom, boom. Now we're in there, you know? Crazy. And then I asked her, like, you know, just out of curiosity, girl, how did you get this blessing? She was like, man, like, I've been working hard with Good Foot Productions. You know, I put in the work, you know, in Atlanta and outside of Atlanta. And I just got to a space where, you know, they wanted like a new artist liaison team. And they heard the services I provide. They see my work and they were like, yeah, we want you on board. And the first person I thought of was you and XYZ, you know, naming all the other people was on our team that this year. And she was like, yeah, you know, things just happen to align. And shout out to things aligning, you know?
Wow. That's so crazy. It's crazy that, man, stuff like that happened, because it makes me think of like, it's like a combination of one, your hard work and everything that you've done before that kind of prepared you for that. And then also, you know, you having worked in the festival in 2019, right? You said in 2019. And then also, when it comes to like the entertainment industry, a big thing that people always like chime in on is networking and like, you know, building relationships with people, not necessarily just building relationships for the fact of knowing people, but more so building these genuine relationships, because you never know who's going to be where, but also like just being a good, being good at your job and being a good person to other people. Cause this industry, you know, a lot of times people tell you, don't work with this person, don't work with them because they're bad. And then it's things like that will happen where things will line up, you know? And she's like, oh, you really worked that? Next thing you know, she's like, well, I already like you as a person and I know you do a good job. So come on in, come
on. It's literally her words verbatim. And like, she was like, what makes this decision even easier for me to make is like, literally you make me feel a lot more comfortable because you know the lay of the land. Mm. Like none of us have, you know, been to the site and you've been to the site.
Yeah.
So at least in my head, this is one less person I have to explain the site to and break down. And if anything, you could kind of give us pointers. Da, 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 da. And I was like, man, I haven't been there since 2019, but we're going to do this thing and we're going to rock this thing, you know?
Exactly.
So it was great.
Man, that's so wild because that like makes me, it reminds me of like moments like that that's happened to me when it's come to like when I used to do festivals super hard as photographer and stuff like that. Or just like you there's like what it, there's like, I don't know what to call it, kind of like certain paths or excuse me, my bad, not paths, but more so I see a lot of patterns. There's patterns in the world, right? And like one thing that I would always notice of one, pay attention to what other people are doing, like other photographers. I always would pay attention to people who are above me in the sense of like they've accomplished a lot in their career. Yeah. And I'm like, what are they doing? You know, that I'm not doing. And I would pay attention. And then I also pay attention to other people who were on the same level as me. And I'd be like, okay, what are they doing? What, you know, what's similar and stuff, and kind of pick and take certain things. It's kind of like I'm going on a tangent here, but it's kind of like how artists will tell you, what is it? Like pay attention to other artists, all the greatest artists steal.
Yeah.
If you heard that, you know, yeah.
There's no original thought or there's no original idea, you know, you just got to make it into your own.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's how it is, you know, because I'm pretty sure like some people who like if I said on the last episode you hear, they wanted to be in your position. Like, how do I get there? And really, it's like one, being a good person, being good at your job.
That literally,
that will take you farther than if you're great at your job. If you're not a good person, but you're great at your job, most of the time, if there's somebody else who's maybe is close to as good as you are, but they're a better person as far as treating people right, that's going to take that person farther than the other one will.
That's the cherry on top, you know, because like you said, at the end of the day, the work is what matters.
Yes.
Because you could be a great person and can't handle your business and no one wants that either, you know? So at the end of the day, we're not taking away from the people that can get the job done. But if you could get the job done with a little razzle dazzle, a little smile, a little convenience, a little happiness, and be able to sprinkle in that, you know, energy that'll create a healthy work environment, a happy work environment, a cohesive work environment, that's going to take it to the next level because no one wants to get the job done but then return home with 5 new gray hairs, like an enemy on the west side of the country.
Oh my God.
Like, no one wants all that extra stress. We all just want to, you know, make our dreams come true, get a check, be healthy, come home.
Exactly. No, the straight facts. That's like facts to a T. Like I definitely agree, but it's crazy. And like I said, congrats on that, because I know previous episode we had Sydney and she talked about her experience of like the stress, but like how previous experiences kind of prepared her, because she was saying that it was like her first like big festival that she was the I don't know if you remember,
she was also the artist liaison for the Rise stage, which was a huge stage, and they had a lot of amazing acts and talents on that. First of all, shout out to Sydney, okay? If you didn't watch her episode, go and watch her episode right now, because one, she's amazing, two, she's a boss, beep, and talk about getting the job done with grace and a smile. Like, Sydney is literally my ace boon coon. That's my Virgo sister, and she dominated Dreamville, okay?
That's so dope, man. So. It's so dope to see your people win, and so I love seeing whenever people are in doing what they love to do, you know, and doing it, like, effectively. Because I know y'all do your thing. I ain't got to worry about y'all. And so, you know, it's super dope. It's super dope to hear. But what was your favorite part of Dreamville? Like, did you have a moment or a couple moments that you were just like, wow, this is dope, or I can't believe I'm doing this?
Yeah, for sure. Seeing a lot of familiar faces, a lot, like having super happy moments. Like,
you're in the hustle and bustle, you're trying to get to your stage, you have somebody on the cart with you, you're like, all these civilians, get out of my way. But like randomly coming across like somebody from your hometown, or even a creative that's not from your hometown that you met years ago on another work tip. Wow. Like I saw a good friend of mine, her name is Ebony. She actually lives in North Carolina. Wow. And we met a couple of years ago doing the Revolt festival here in Atlanta. So like I said, I'm doing my work, hustle and bustle. Like I passed by this girl on the cart and all I hear is Jody. And then now don't do this at home, kids. Do not drive and look back. Okay. But I was literally like, and I saw her and I was like, yo, Ebony, what the hell? We had our moment. We hugged. We're like, I'm so happy to see you here. What are you doing? We chopped it up and everything was still everything. It was all love. And it was just like, yes, black woman in production. Wow. I know that's right.
Yeah.
I saw my homie. Shout out to Sebastian. He does photography. He's an amazing artist. And he was there with T-Pain. He was taking photos for T-Pain. And I had a moment too when he was on another cart. And I was just like, Sebastian? He was just like, hell yeah. And I said, you know when you see all your people winning at one time, it's just like, God, you really doing your thing this weekend. Yeah. So it was definitely one of those moments. That was a moment that I really appreciated because it's just beautiful to see everyone's growth. You know, who take themselves seriously, who take their craft seriously. And also going back to what you said, who are just, you know, are genuinely solid people at their core, you know? And it pays off in the long run.
Yeah.
Definitely getting to experience a few of the artists that I did have time to see was always a good time, you know? Like, I got a snippet of my Taurus twin, Rico Nasty.
Oh, how was that?
That was amazing. I mean, I hadn't seen her since, I want to say, 2018 South By.
Okay. Yeah.
And her stage presence, her confidence, the outfit, the music, all of it's elevated. She has gone up substantially since then.
She's super dope.
And I just love to see her in her element. Like, I'm always going to be a Rico fan, so it was cool to see that. I got to see Larry June for a little bit. And I just started, like, messing with Larry's music and his whole persona and his energy. I want to say last year, I got put onto him. So I've been having a very hairy Larry June, you're doing good type of 6 to 9 months, and seeing him in real life was great. Everyone on my stage, everyone on the DJ stage was fire. Like, and some of the DJs, I was a little familiar with them, so it was great to either see that returning act or just get put on to what experiencing that DJ lives feels like, you know? Like, we had everyone from like Dana Lu to DJ Puffy, DJ MoMA, The Road Podcast. We had C-Bird Go, DJ Dark Knight, Night Train. Crazy. Like, it was definitely a heavy hitter, like, list of DJs. And, like, I think DJ MoMA did a great job with curating that stage and, like, spreading out the talent and the diversity of the music that each DJ gave us. And they just all held on the fort. You know, they kept the DJ stage pumping. They kept the audience engaged. And I can't wait to see that entire element of Dreamville Festival continue to, you know, get better as the years progress. Because this was only year two, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's still a baby.
It's still a baby. And it was the first year that they even had a DJ stage. So shout out to them for even making that, you know, decision.
Exactly.
And giving the DJs some love, honestly.
Yeah.
So, oh man, like, that's just a few of the options, honestly. Like, I'd be a liar, first of all. Guys, I'm a foodie, okay? I am a foodie, okay? I am a Taurus. Shout out to all my Taurus. We in our season. I would be a liar if I left this question and did not mention catering.
Clutch.
Honey, okay? Some of the best shrimp and grits I've ever had in my life, okay? And maybe 2 years ago, I didn't even like shrimp and grits. Yes, drag me accordingly. Wow. It's okay. I see the light now. And wow, the food was just A1. Like, and I know it sounds like, okay, girl, you're talking about food, but no, literally, when you're like pulling these hours, we're getting on site, I want to say maybe anywhere from like 8:30. Yeah. We're not leaving site until like 11:30 midnight.
Crazy.
Like, you are pulling hours and you don't even realize time is going by. It's so easy not to refuel, not to take that time to take care of yourself in the midst of everything else that you're doing or taking care of. But like, they came in clutch. Like, they were friendly. The food was delicious. It was timely. They had water. They literally had everything you could think of. Water, matcha, coffee. Like, they had a blender and they just put the fruits out there and said, y'all do y'all thing. Like, and I love the flexibility of the dishes. They had a little bit of everything for everyone, going back to our conversation earlier, you know? Yeah. They had, you know, some meat, veggie, vegan options, vegetarian options, gluten-free options. So I like to see the inclusivity of... and mindfulness in catering, honestly.
That's so dope.
Yeah,
that is, and like, I expect nothing less than from Dreamville for that shit to be on point, you know?
Yeah, for real, because especially in our world, not even in the festival world, just in this industry alone, as creatives, as industry professionals, it's literally so easy to let your health take a back burner to what you're doing, especially if you're in a space where your career is starting to take off, or you're dealing with a client whose career is already in that realm, and that constant demand, it's so easy to be like, oh, I didn't go to the doctor, I'm gonna go in 2 months and then it'd be 3 years, you know? So I was just very happy to see like them reminding us like, hey, take care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get some water,
For real, like,
stay hydrated.
Seriously though, so that was cool. Off the top of my head.
No, that's super dope, and like I said, I'm proud of you, Sydney, and everybody who did a great job. So, because I heard it was great, and I know it was great, so it's super dope, and I can't wait to see the next like coming years of that festival, because I can only imagine it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Man, I'm so excited. And of course, like, I feel like I didn't mention this, but it was like a no-brainer to that answer, like, of course seeing J. Cole.
Of course.
It's just like, he could be damn near 75 and I'm gonna be in that crowd like, let's go, Durant.
That's hilarious.
Seriously,
That's so dope. I think recently I was on Instagram recently. Speaking of J. Cole, it reminded me, because I remember, I think this was around the time Born Sinner had dropped, and I remember I used to go to a lot of concerts back in the day. I loved going to concerts. And after a while, I kind of was like, okay, I kind of want to work on music and do my thing or whatever. Right. So I kind of took a backseat to going to concerts. But I remember one time, J. Cole, originally from Arkansas. So a lot of times you only really get like super big acts or country big acts that come to Arkansas. Not a lot of like hip hop or anything like that. It's very rare.
Right.
But I remember one time J. Cole came to Arkansas, and I come to find out one of his, I think his dad is actually from Arkansas, if I remember right. From a small city called Jonesboro that actually my best friend is from. And it was super funny, but he performed and it was so dope to see him. And I remember seeing him, JID, Ari Lennox, before Ari Lennox was, you know, Ari Lennox. Yeah. And so it was so dope. And then recently I was on Instagram and I was watching Big Crit story, his story. Shout out to Crit. He's on tour right now. Yeah. And like seeing tour stories, whatever, I was like, damn, I remember going on tour with Crit and like that experience and stuff of like learning and seeing how tour works and stuff and just like the memories. It let me know, it reminded me, because I don't know if you know who DJ DiBiase is.
Yeah,
so
I met him years ago, but it was on some like H3C festival.
Yeah,
high and by.
So so Dibs, he retired from DJing. He says that he's, you know, he'll DJ every now and then, but more so because he's focused on his he switched and pivoted whenever the pandemic hit to his seasoning business.
Gotcha.
If you know, he cooks, he's an amazing chef. Super dope. And I was like, damn, man. Cause I remember I met him when he was Crit's DJ.
Okay.
And like, he was like my best friend on the tour, cause we would be cracking jokes and just having fun or whatever. And he put me onto a lot of game. And I was like, damn, man, I'm getting fucking old. I'm like, I was like, damn, cause people.
This game is too relatable.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Cause it's interesting, cause speaking on the growth, you know, it's like, I knew him as a DJ, and like, he would DJ these big ass, like, whether it be like a House of Blues or just big concert venues, you know, and just like being, I remember being in Tabernacle and Crit performed there, and just the energy of like how big that was, and it's like sold out shows, whatever. But then now he's like, well, no, I kind of just do this now. I'm like, damn, bro, time, like growth and stuff. And it reminded me of like things are always like moving, and sometimes people shift to other things and stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this life we have is to be lived.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not to be confined to, you know, what the older version of yourself thought you should be doing, what, mm-hmm. you know, your fans or your friends or your family or random people on the internet think you yeah. should be doing is for you to live it 100% to fulfill your needs and your desires. You know?
Exactly. It made me feel a little nostalgic because there's like certain things that happen every now and then that I pay attention to on social media that makes me realize like, oh, I'm getting older. Like, I don't know if you saw, there's like this, I think it's it might have been somebody from Gen Z, like a young kid who he started like this thing on TikTok where he was like, look at these old songs that you should know about. And it was like a Nirvana song that came out and like came out. He was like, you should know about these old songs. And I was like, huh?
Old?
I was like, old. And, you know, and then like these it made me laugh because there was a lot of people like for me, there's a natural things just are going to happen this way where your music you grew up on that you love, the next generation or the generation after that's going to be like, wow, this old music, like, you know, because I mean, it happened to our parents. It happened to our grandparents and stuff like that.
True.
And so it made me laugh because I think what is it? Because like and this is just how it is where like the young kids are like, man, that old music's so whack. And I was like, bro, the same shit's going to happen to y'all. Like, as the kids that come after y'all are the kids, yeah. after they're going to be like, this shit's old. This shit's...
Right. You're going to see that, like, 180.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come back around. Then they're going to have that, oh, my God, I'm getting older.
Uh-huh. It's you know? That, you know, it just made me very nostalgic. I was just thinking, like, damn, I remember when this... Because, like, I can still remember when certain, like, albums came out and, like... How everybody was like, yo, this shit's amazing. Yeah. And then now some like the young kids, which I understand, they're just like, that old music, like
you see, but you know what's funny, especially about music and yeah. just, you know, how every generation perceives very important
yeah.
and classic albums or yeah. artists. It's just like they'll make a comment like that, like, oh man, that's so old, like that's so early 2000s or whatever. And it's just like, okay, cool, well show me something you like right now, and they'll play you a song, and then they're like, this is the best song.
Yeah.
And you just sitting there like, you don't even know this been sampled 15 times. I can tell you at least 7 of them samples.
Exactly.
Like, and it's just like it's a beautiful thing because mm-hmm. it just shows that creativity will never die.
Yeah.
And yeah. when you make an actual product that could sustain through the test of time, like mm-hmm. it will do so.
Oh yeah.
And at the end of the day, regardless of what generation you are, if it slaps, it's gonna slap, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So you just let them have their moment. Of like, course, okay, you don't even know Mariah Carey slapped on this about 25 years ago, but go ahead.
Exactly. Rap your lyrics. It's funny. It's kind of like what I'm realizing is like seeing certain like the younger generations like music that's coming out like the trap or just whatever music that mm-hmm. they kind of love. I'm like, oh, this is like y'all's like this is gonna y'all gonna look back on this like, wow, this is my favorite time. It, like it's their nostalgia. Like for example, like certain movies maybe that you loved growing up.
Yeah.
They're having that same thing. Same thing with same albums or. Same thing with like sports moments or stuff like that. Yeah. They're experiencing that right now. And like, we still experience it, but I think like, I remember still playing like older video games and being like, wow, this is like the best. And, but to, you know, compared to like how it is today, they might be like, that looks so old, you know?
Right. Imagine handing a child, like a 14 year old today, like a Wii remote.
Oh
my God. They're going to be like, what do I do with
what is this ancient technology? Like what?
Mind you, when the Wii came out, I was like, I was fascinated.
Oh my God. It's
that's so hilarious.
All but right. We're back. Let me start this. I actually saw there's something I wanted to ask you. Oh, she just said, I'm out of here. No? She's like, I want to chill on the floor.
Right.
Hi, little baby. Cause I mentioned this before. Cause it's good to catch up. And like I said, it's good to see, it's always good to see when your friends are winning. Like I love seeing that. So,
amen.
Yeah. But to speak on, cause on this podcast, we talk about really anything. There's like nothing off limits. And I like to question a lot of things and I like to
respect,
you know, cause that's going to help me understand my values and beliefs to see if they're actually mine or if someone's given them to me, society or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just make sure that one, if I need to reevaluate and oh, maybe I don't believe this anymore, and it just keeps me in check, right?
Yeah.
In my things. But on the social media side of things, I wanted to ask you, so you know, of course, Elon actually bought Twitter for
BBM rolls eyes. I'm showing my generational age.
Oh
know?
My God,
they're like BBM.
But he bought it for $44 billion, I think.
$44 billion.
That's crazy. I wish he would have gave me some of that money. But
like, listen, you just got 44 Bs just laying yeah. around. Like,
that's crazy. Because he is the richest, I think, man in the world, right? I think he's like still has that title.
I thought it was Jeff now. Like, I know they've been going like yeah. neck and neck for a couple
of... It might be him now after he spent his money.
Okay.
But listen, okay. But you know, suppose they don't like each other, them two?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They got beef with each other?
Not these two rich things.
I think it's because he does it so... You know, Elon does the SpaceX stuff. So, and then, yeah. you know, Jeff does the space stuff too. They supposedly they don't like each other. They're, you know,
because they're both trying to be the first to crack into like already made or if not already made like concepts,
yeah.
new concepts. But they're both in that tax bracket to do so. So yeah. it's just a matter of like, okay, I have the money. I need exactly. to find the team. So who's going to find the team first?
Exactly. Like, want to be the first to do that. And also, like, I think Jeff didn't like him too because he had more money than him. And so he was like,
some ignorant shit.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you about what are your thoughts on this? Because so here's the thing. So of course, Twitter's Twitter, you know, it's a place where people can tweet. They can, you know, tweet their thoughts and stuff and be like, hey, blah, 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 share memes, share videos, share crazy shit. There's some crazy shit on Twitter.
Right.
But so the reason why Elon wanted to buy Twitter is to, as he says, is to kind of help do free speech. Now, what he means by that is meaning that his belief, if I remember right, I could be quoting this wrong. Sorry if I'm quoting this wrong. But from what I remember, his whole thing of speech is he's saying that no one should be censored for what they say. People should be allowed to say what they think and not kind of...
have any type of repercussions for it?
Maybe not repercussions, but maybe... Like, people should still be, what am I trying, what the fuck am I saying? People should be allowed to say what they say without being censored for it. So, for example, sometimes on Twitter, it might still happen now, but before he even thought about buying it, sometimes when people were certain political parties or believe certain things, if you tweeted something, Twitter would kind of like give you a strike or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or know? They would, you know, put that little PSA above yeah. the tweet that says like, hey, we know, like, it wasn't this verbatim, but it would basically be explained like, hey, we know this is a political figure.
Yeah.
We know that this is a entertainment figure and, you know, this is their opinion.
Exactly.
Like, this is not Twitter's opinion.
Exactly. They would do the same thing when it comes to coronavirus, stuff like that. They're like, hey, here's CDC. This is what you need.
Actual facts.
Yeah, stuff yeah. like that. And so, but his thing is he wanted to kind of like, people still should be able to say what they want, be free to say it without being censored. Now, of course, on Twitter, it's mm-hmm. probably still trending now. People, and this always happens because people need, it's just natural for people, I think, and humans to kind of, you need to be on a team and pick a side. But some people are for it, against, and or against him buying Twitter because they're saying that. Do you know the website? Do you know what 4chan is?
Yeah. Know?
Okay. So there's a lot of questionable shit on 4chan.
Is it going to turn into a 4chan type there, of situation?
Yeah, people are saying that that's a possibility that could happen. But he kind of is saying that, no, he doesn't want it to go that way. He more so wants it. He just wants people to have the freedom to say what they say without being censored and all this stuff. Now, he's also said, too.
Too many comments already. Too many. Because, oh, my God. Okay, first of all, I'm just going to make this comment and let you finish.
Okay.
I'm trying to be as politically correct, like, no, without being
I
like,
say, I said, like, you know, just to, for me, I mean, you be political, because I'm gonna say what I say, and so
I'm okay. I'm gonna no, yeah. I'm trying to see how I can say what I
look
what
here, I say. Listen. I don't like this.
No, but for real though, okay, you just spent 44 Bs on Twitter, okay, and your whole reasoning, well, one of the main reasons is for you want to basically maintain freedom of speech, but that's
on social media
wary lines already, and that's yeah. like off the strength of you're one human being, okay? Mm. What your idea of freedom of speech could be a completely different idea of someone else's freedom of speech. One, two, I don't know about it becoming a 4chan, but now you have the jurisdiction and power to redesign this entire world mm-hmm. that people are already accustomed to. You know, you mm-hmm. have the power to go change terms and policies and be like, hey, I don't want you tweeting any more stars anymore. They don't want to be bothered. We're rich. You're not. Da, 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 da. So I know that sounds foolish, but it could be something as small as that could dramatically change the environment of what Twitter is and what the people have allowed Twitter to become. Also, can we just get into the fact that these social media platforms honestly wouldn't even have the monetary gain or monetary appeal to it if it wasn't for Black people or people of color making these platforms what it is.
And making it like what it is.
Especially in regards to Twitter, like Twitter's live because Black Twitter.
I was about to say, I'm not gonna lie to you, the reason why Twitter is funny and it's like some, you'll see a lot of great shit on there, is because of Black people. That's why.
So where's my 44 million? Am I, as a user and as a consistent user of this platform, you know? And not to get sidetracked, but I'm trying to tie in a point here. Like, I saw this video on Twitter, and it was Kanye, and he was basically, like, approaching a paparazzi and was saying, hey, you know, you get money off of my likeness, my image, my, you know, energy that I decide to give you on that day, and you go sell that to whomever and get your bag, you know? I should be entitled to a percentage of that, because at the end of the day, I'm the reason you're getting money in any form.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, everyone, I'm not even going to get into that Kanye bag, but what the man was saying in that video was very real. And at the end of the day, that's how I feel as a consumer and a user and a producer on these platforms, especially like Twitter. Like, it's worth $44 billion because of my thoughts, because of our thoughts, because of our energy, our creativity. Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we actually profit from this in the sense of like helping our businesses or helping our day-to-day or even something as deep and intricate of like helping people not be so addicted to social media? Like, if we're getting into the facts, like, dude, you're just trying to like have a dick matching competition with other people in your tax bracket. Like, bro, I don't have time for that.
It's interesting. Cause like I always try to be very open minded, and but I have my faults where sometimes I'm like, nah, fuck this, fuck them, blah blah blah, whatever. But I kinda have to like, you know, back it up and be like, hold on, that's your ego talking. Let me actually hear people. Cause for example, I'll tell you something. Yesterday, I saw a video, it was on SZA's story. She had somebody had,
we love you, SZA.
Yeah, love SZA. She reposted a video. I wish I knew the creator. I think the video's gone now, but it was this. He's a verified creator on Instagram, and he was talking about the same thing we're talking about.
Okay.
And he was talking about, I think, impact versus repercussions. I might be getting that right or wrong, but he was saying, now, Elon doing this, he might have good intentions, but he doesn't know. It could have a bad impact on what happens. Because because he was saying that, I think, I might be misremembering this, but he was saying that he could want to, like, make a space for people can, you know, speak their mind without getting in trouble or anything. But what happens when the people who are speaking their mind say something negative and they're like people in power, if that makes sense?
Exactly. And say something negative or say something life threatening or say something that we already know the masses are easily persuaded. So you cannot just give any human, it doesn't even matter if they're in your tax bracket or not, any human, you cannot give them too much power or too much accessibility to anything. And as people, we shouldn't desire that. But that's also a whole nother conversation, you know?
It's interesting because, like, for me, for the way that I view life, and I don't know if I've told you this before, I've said it on the podcast before, I believe in balance, right? Because when it's one-sided, that's way too much. It's unbalanced. Things aren't going to be good. That's why, for me personally, I don't believe in utopias, because I think that if it's too utopia, then there's no balance, you know? And so there has to kind of be this. I always feel like life is doing this. It's just constantly going back and forth.
Balance right on the scales,
it's going back and forth. And so some people, when this first happened, there was a lot of people who were immediately going to the extreme, like, this is horrible. It's about to become a shit show here. It's about to be like, you know, the sky is falling. And I was like, well, hold on. I don't know. We just kind of have to wait and see. And then there was people who were on the other side were like, this is great. Now we get to speak our mind and people, blah, 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 we won't get canceled, whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't know if it'll be that good, you know?
Right. Like, also, but also, people are just too comfortable saying absurd things on the internet without it having any type of repercussions.
Yeah.
Like, where's the regulation in that? Sometimes you could talk too much.
True. No, that's very true. Because my whole thing is that I believe that people should be allowed to say what they say, but they can't not expect repercussions from what they say. So, for example, if somebody says some racist shit, I'm like, well, you should probably expect that somebody's going to come and check you. Like, because that's just how it is. That's just not how, you just can't say shit willy-nilly and not expect something, you know?
Right, exactly.
That's very ignorant. But it's interesting to see because I think, one, I'm more so, I guess maybe I only see it from the surface level a little bit where I'm like, well, no, people should be allowed to say what they say. But I also think that if somebody does say some left-sided or like right-sided shit that's gone too far, I think that we should be allowed to chin check them personally.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, at the end of the day, you have to give the power back to the people in some way.
Of course.
Some way, shape, or form, you know? Yeah. Like, and at the end of the day, like, the world is everyone. What am I trying to say right now? When it comes to the internet, we're each other's community. It doesn't matter. I live in New York and you live in Beijing, or this person lives in, you know, Cuba or wherever. Like, we all have some sort of access to the internet and we all have our two cents, and it should be heard and should be respected.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like, that regulation or that, like, keeping of the balance is imperative.
Very.
Because at the end of the day, then the internet is already raunchy.
Very.
It's already raunchy. It's giving a lot of false ego. It's giving a lot of, you would never say this in real life because you don't have hands.
Exactly.
So what are you doing?
It's interesting because, so one thing that supposedly that he wants to do, this podcast, you don't get your news from here because I don't know what the fuck I'll be saying sometimes. But supposedly, from what I remember, Elon wants to introduce something where, so, you know, a lot of people hide behind like fake profiles or whatever, and you have a lot of bots on Twitter. He wants to introduce something that can possibly benefit, where he says that he wants to, if you're a real person, you have to verify, like, I think it's like you have to submit a picture to show that you're not a bot and show where you're from and where you live or where you're born, stuff like that. So that way, if someone tries to say something to the effect of, I'm going to go hurt somebody, then, and if, like, I guess something to the effect of, if cops want to be like, where is this person? He'd be like, here it is. They submitted this. It's from here. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Kind of verification to kind of keep somewhat of a balance and, you know, checks. Supposedly, because my thing is, what I think people should do on, this is another thing, because YouTube's also like a crazy place in some comment sections. It's very wild. But my thing is, like, which I feel like they should introduce, but at the same time, some people might not like it, I think, is that if you leave like a very like effed up comment or something before you post it, like Twitter or YouTube should be like, you have to provide where your address is, your home address, and you have to verify that.
So some
that
type way, of backup. Yeah. Just in so case we people, need to roll up respectfully.
Exactly. Cause I think that would deter a lot of people from making those comments. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm actually interested to see where this goes. If it really goes anywhere, a part of me kind of feels like it'll only change slightly, I think.
Same. No, I'm kind of on that tip with you, because at the end of the day, honestly, let's say they make that like, what do you call it? Not reference, make that an option on the platform to have that exact address and pinpoint your location. Like, one, people lie. We've been lying since.
Of course.
We've been lying since we hopped out the womb, and we just gonna learn how to get better at lying, especially when it comes to not getting in trouble or getting what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, just on a censorship slash privacy tab or note or side note, I just feel like that's a very messed up way. Like, it's working harder and it's not working smarter. Because now, as a regular consumer of your platform who can back up what she says on the internet and is also doesn't have the desires to like go and argue with people on the internet, now I have to succumb to giving you the internet more information about me that you've already been compiling for the last 20 years of my life to add on to where I live and what I do, just because of people who want to say racist things or prejudice things or, you know, like, why should Peter pay for Paul? Why don't we just take Peter and put him in a different class? Like, and then Paul and everyone else could continue going on with, you know, it's just that like herd mentality or that herd thinking or that herd, you know, discipline. Like, it just, you're losing me, dog.
Yeah.
You're losing me. And I've been on Twitter since 2009. Like, I've made, in 2009, I had just entered high school. So from 2009 to 2020, there has been drastic things that have happened in the world that have, that the internet has allowed space to view and put your opinion on and et cetera, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I feel like we had that feature. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers Twitter jail, but you remember Twitter jail? Like, you, if you were tweeting in too much one day, they would put you in Twitter jail. If you said something disrespectful, they would put you in Twitter jail. If you try to act like a verified famous person or whatever, and it wasn't coming with grace and love, Twitter jail. Like, what's wrong with Twitter jail? Like,
yeah, true.
Like, why can't we expound on these things that are examples of us working smarter and not harder? You are not doing what you need to do on this platform. You're bringing a certain type of attention or media or whatever to this platform. You are being suspended, or you're being banned, or you are being XYZ. And now I'm hitting the issue head on, and I don't have to punish 5.7 million followers because of this one group of 10,000 people who decided to be ignorant, you know? And then you have to deal with those repercussions. Whether you make a new profile or whatever the case may be, it still gives the platform a certain amount of power without abusing that power, but still holds them accountable to do their job as a platform, because that is a part of your job, to take the bad fruit out of the bunch of the fruit and keep your platform a space where people want to use it.
True.
You know, like, if that's the case, like, let's go talk to Tom and see why MySpace did not work. Like,
no, very true.
You know? So it's just like, when I think about things like this, it just... And as a creative, drag me accordingly, slow, fast, whatever. Like, as a creative, like, they have put us in a mind space where it's just like, oh, we know you want to stay away from the internet for your mental health, okay? But if you want to be successful, you need to tell us what you ate for breakfast every day. They put us in that mindset. And I don't want to use the word victim, but, you know, to a certain extent, we're all like victims of that, trying to keep that balance. Like, well, I want my life to be my life, but I also need to, you know, make sure my business is good. Like, at the end of the day, like...
Over it.
Listen, we're summer. T-E-W, too much. Over it. Okay?
That's hilarious.
I am, honestly. Because Twitter jail doesn't even exist anymore. Why is that? That's the real questions that need answers, okay?
Very true.
Like, Trump should have been in Twitter jail.
He really should have.
Okay.
Well, now he's in permanent Twitter jail because he can't get on Twitter. Yeah.
You see? Answers, okay?
True. But it's interesting. I'm excited to see where it goes. And so... We'll see. I think only what always happens, people always say that it's going to either extremely go this way or it's extremely go that way. I think it's just going to go a little bit like, just a little bit.
There will be a little shift.
Because you got to think, I think there'll be a small shift or small little things that'll happen, but you have to, I guess the way that I'm thinking of it, he's probably thinking of it too as a businessman, and he spent so much money on it. Like, I got to make sure this shit's still.
Yeah, I need a return on my investment.
Exactly. It'd be funny if he would just be like, you know, I'm going to own this. He owned it for like a month. Okay, I'm going to sell it. Like, just to do it because he can, but you never know. And so it's going to be interesting. I think some people are, you know, I don't know.
To be honest, like, and again, going back to Twitter, I was on Twitter, this morning, to be honest. And what I'm more curious about is, especially now that we have all of these like nonprofits or even like actual businesses or organizations that make it a point to like kind of find new business owners or new tech development. Or developers to like invest their money in. A lot of my timeline on Twitter this morning was like, okay, Black Twitter, where are we going to next? You know? And even though it was a funny little haha retweet moment, that is a valid question, you know? True. For the users, Black people, people of color that are frequent on these apps, you know, at this point, I feel like we have way too many influencers, celebrities, et cetera, et cetera. We should have a space on the internet, on the hubs. Beyonce. We should have a space on Beyonce's internet where we could gather in peace and in relation to each other. And yeah, I'm not saying that's going to be the end all be all of internet drama or internet complications or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But at least, you know, a space where our activity on this platform is directly or indirectly benefiting the users in some way, shape or form, in some facet, you know? And seeing that tweet really made me think like, okay, who's going to be the person to do that? If it's already done and it's a app or a platform that we don't know about, who's going to be the person to invest in that already made platform, you know? Yeah. Because no, like we said in the beginning of this, no thought is original, you know?
Of course.
Yeah. So like, I'm pretty sure someone's already have like an app where it's just like, oh, I made this app, you know, me and my friends use it, but it's nothing big. Like there's someone out there waiting for that investment check to take their business idea to the next level, you know?
Very true.
And like, what does that look like? Maybe it's time we hop off of Twitter and go elsewhere, you know?
Very true.
So
It's interesting to see where to go, because I'm always thinking of people who say, because when this happened, people are like, that's it, we're quitting Twitter type of thing. I'm like, y'all very dramatic. Hold on, chill out. Just uninstall. Yeah. but my thing is, because like, I guess one thing that I always think of is when people. So eventually this is what I believe. I think one day. Because you know how when Facebook first came out, people were like, wow, Facebook, da-da-da. And then kind of eventually Facebook went to a shit show and it's kind of like, well, oh, you know, Facebook. Right.
But in your opinion, why did Facebook go to a shit show? Because personally, I know what took me away from it, but I would like to hear other people's.
Oh, I think for me, I think it wasn't as fun as Twitter and Instagram was, you know? But I have a feeling, and then I feel like this is just the way of things, because, you know, MySpace used to be the shit before Facebook, right? And then Facebook came. Then after Facebook, Twitter came, and then Twitter was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. This is pretty cool. After Twitter, Instagram came, and you're like, whoa.
Instagram dominated everything.
Dominated everything.
Like, visuals?
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, TikTok came, and everybody's like, whoa, this is way better.
That TikTok boy.
And so, but Twitter's been able to stay, like, relevant for a very long time. I think eventually, like you said, somebody's creating something that's just going to take its place, that'll be better, and people will move there or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think Twitter will eventually become, my belief, I think Twitter is eventually going to become Facebook, where it's going to be a lot.
To be honest, I think Twitter has a few years on it, to be honest. Yeah. I think, as sad as it sounds, I think IG is the next to hit the chopping block far as like social media deaths.
Yeah, definitely.
IG is definitely giving, I'm on my deathbed.
Life support. Yeah.
Yeah, like at this point, I will give you any feature you ask for. Just please don't leave this app, you know? But TikTok is doing its thing. It's just like, you know, when Vine was here for a little while, and Vine was like the initial, like, I'm giving you visual video content, and then Instagram said, oh, that is a great idea. We have a bigger budget. We have more space to do this. And we already have a larger app. We're just going to take that idea. And then we saw what happened to Vine, you know? So I think Twitter could hold out for a little bit. If anything, this whole Elon 44B business is just doing what it needs to do as far as attracting people to Twitter if you don't already have one.
Exactly.
And for that community who's like, oh, well, I made a Twitter a year ago, or I'm going to make one now. I give it about another 5 years. And then we're going to see Twitter be in that realm of
It's interesting because this makes me think of, you remember Clubhouse tried it, was like a thing for like a minute.
Clubhouse hated Clubhouse. A chokehold during the pandemic.
My thing though, what I did like about it, the only thing that I really liked about it is that you could actually hear people and like the intention and how they spoke and stuff. So you could see how it was. But I hated everything else about it. I was like, this is horrible. I don't like it.
It's a big ego fest.
Very.
But when you, like you said, when you find those rooms that actually had like respectable people in it, like both on a professional side and a personal side, like you could see them talk about themselves or share information or share knowledge without that ego in their tonality. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like, thank God. Wow. I didn't even know this. And you over here like 3:47 in the morning taking notes, listening to a Clubhouse. Like.
Exactly. Because Instagram, like, I think Instagram has a few more. I think Instagram will go down way before Twitter will, I think, just because Twitter, it's just Instagram kind of feels very they try to take the stuff from TikTok with like reels and stuff like that. And they just,
it's feeling forced now.
Yeah, it's feeling very forced. And I think TikTok will be here for a while because I think that's the new generation's social media thing and that's their thing. I feel like maybe the next thing will be something to the effect of a combination of TikTok and Clubhouse where you can kind of...
They have it.
Yeah.
They have it, which is also like going back to that old comment. It's just trying to even keep up with these apps as they come out. Yeah. But there's this new app that I see a lot of people are using, like, because I subscribe to certain people's like... what you call it, Instagram following or Twitter following.
Oh, okay.
So like when they tweet or when they post, like I'll get the notification. Mm-hmm. Two people that I have that on for right now are Gary V and Aluna of okay. Aluna George.
Oh, okay.
And it's just because the content that they put out on mm-hmm. both sides, I love it. I benefit from it, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha.
But I've seen both of them, like they have, Gary V has this way, like he has that text community so he could put out that text message
yeah.
and it'll go out to everyone. It's called Discord.
Oh, yeah, Discord. Yeah, yeah. There's like communities within that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's like communities within that. It's like a TikTok in the sense of like TikTok dentist and a TikTok doctor and TikTok gyno. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So Discord is there and like, you know, they have that aspect to my knowledge. I haven't used the app yet, so I'm not like super familiar. But what it looks like and sounds like, it has that multi feature of like we could speak in a group on some Clubhouse
yeah.
stuff. But you could also follow me and look at my timeline. Type yeah, of situation. Yeah. So
that's interesting because I've seen more and more stuff pop out of that. Because I didn't realize how I knew of it through like video game stuff where people mm-hmm. use it for like talking to each other and stuff. But then mm-hmm. you start to see these like cool communities. Like one, if you like this person and what they do, one, you can follow them and it'll let you know whenever they go live on Twitch or whenever they post something or. People amongst community can talk amongst themselves about ideas or, you know, hey, I have an issue with this in this program. Does anybody have a resolution? Has anybody had this too? Yeah. It's kind of like a way where it kind of goes back to forums, you know, when people were just talking. And then that makes me laugh because I'm like, are we just going backwards like a little bit
100%.
In the new way, but in a new version of it? That's so funny.
History is repeating itself.
That's so hilarious. It's just like fashion where, you know, something old becomes new again. And so that's so funny.
It was me thrifting this. I can't even remember. I can't even remember the article of clothing that it was, but I knew I had thrifted this really nice, like, jeans. And maybe it's like, I don't want to call it bell bottoms because I'm mm-hmm. a bit, but it was giving bell bottoms. And long story short, I had took a picture in it and I sent it to my family. The group chat with my siblings. Uh-huh. And they was like, girl, you wearing bell bottoms? Like, and you're like, what do you think this is? The 70s? The 80s?
Oh my God.
And I was like, these are not bell bottoms. Okay. These are inserts, random name that probably doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
Type of jeans. And they're just all like, okay, girl, all right. You look good.
If
like,
that's what you say.
Live your best life. Like, but yeah, like everything is recycled. Everything is going to come back like full circle.
That's so funny.
Just with a different name. Just. Yeah. And different branding.
Exactly. And so that's why I believe in patterns. Things will just
speak on it.
But, you know, that's what I believe in. So, but it is what it is. We'll see. I don't think it'll be as extreme as people say it is with this whole Twitter thing. But we'll see.
I mean, let's see, though, because there are parts of the internet that I'm not going to say scare me because that's too much of a, like, has a hold on me mm-hmm. type of word. But I'm just interested to see genuinely the development of technology and... Mm-hmm. The amount of access that we as humans give to it in the upcoming years, because I know mm-hmm. the amount of access I've given the internet to me over the years, even as a child and then as an adolescent, as mm-hmm. an adult. And only until you become an adult do you realize like, oh my goodness, like you guys really have a profile on me. You mm-hmm. have a profile of my habits. You have a profile of my like patterns and what I like and what I do, sometimes so much to a T that you don't even notice it, you mm-hmm. know? And that's the part as I get older that I'm like a little bit of frightened by. Like they know too much. Okay. And if that's the case now, and we're talking about like apps mm-hmm. that didn't access for fingerprints or didn't ask for our locations or eye scan or whatever the case may be, you know?
Yeah.
Like what are the kids gonna have to go to the kids for a simple like internet interaction is what I'm saying. So yeah, like holograms, all of that stuff, they're like baby stepping us into it. So like the next FaceTime is going to be on some like, oh, I'm on my iPhone 23 Jordan year.
Oh my God.
If they even refer to Jordan anymore. And it's going to be like, boom, and your friend like pops up in a little holographic, like it sounds cool, but it's a lot, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
I feel you. It's going to go where it's going to go. We as consumers are still going to just do what we do best,
yeah,
sadly, which is consume. And at the end of the day, like outside of all this internet stuff, you really just got to take time for yourself and remember that you have your own reality and it's not one that is represented by the internet or the persona that you put on the internet, and keep on honing in on that, who you are in real life, and not get caught up in that algorithm, in those like, well, this is what the internet is telling me to do, so this is who I need to be, or this is what I need to like be perceived as, or whatever the case may be, because life is still very much real. There's still very real things happening in the world, good, bad, in between, and you need to stay connected to that. And if you stay connected to that, all that internet stuff is gonna work itself out, honestly, because like, God forbid, electricity shut down today, and none of us could charge nothing.
Yeah,
you think anybody gonna know? Like, oh, that's L. He got 572K followers. They're gonna be like, yes, sir, next in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so humble yourself, kids.
Very true. You know? Very, very true. Well, I think that's a perfect way to end it. Humble yourself, kids. Humble yourself, kids. But thank you for being on the podcast.
No,
I appreciate you.
Thank you, Elle, for making time for me. And I know it's all fun and giggles, but genuinely, shout out to you, Elle, because every time I do, well, shout out to you just for just being in my life. Shout out to you for being an amazing guy friend in my life, a stable guy friend in my life, a stable creative in my life, and someone who just believes in me and gives me opportunity to actually get in my bag and voice my opinions on things and just allow me to talk my shit, to be honest, because every time I do this, I'm reminded of my own power and my own greatness. And there's no other fuel that can really keep me going and keep me at patience and giving grace to myself. So this is a really therapeutic thing for me. Oh. And I love doing it. Period.
No problem. No problem. You know, hey, I do what I can and I do what I do.
I sure know that's right. I do what I can and I do what I do, and it's done when it's done, and that's that on that. Boom.
That's hilarious. One more time, where can people find you or whatever you want to plug and promote?
Okay, I'm just going to slide over here with you because hey, y'all. Boom. People can find me. I feel so weird talking about my IG and I just dragged the fuck out of there. But no, seriously, you can find me on IG at Just Jodie, that's J-U-S-T, Jodie, J-O-D-I-E, with 3 underscores after it. All my content is there. Everything that I'm getting into creatively, professionally, personally, all of it is there. Keep up with me. If you're new to the gram, slide in my DMs. Just say, hey, you know, I'm calm.
Kind of. Thank you. Thank you. For everybody, if you're watching or listening, follow the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or where you get podcasts at Afternoon Programming. On YouTube, it's Afternoon Programming on there as well, so you'll see the videos and stuff. On social media, Instagram and TikTok, it's at Afternoon Programming as well. Rate, review, really appreciate that. It blows us up and goes to new listeners whenever you do that.
Thanks.
And share us. And other than that,
and tag us. Tag Afternoon Programming. Tag at Just Jodie. Like, we love to see the people who are, you know, receiving this content and, you know, relate to it and have questions for either one of us or just want to chop it up with either one of us.
Exactly.
So, like, don't be a stranger. Yeah.
Exactly. And thank y'all for listening. Episode 34 of Afternoon Programming, and we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.